Father.
Prana.
Putra. The son of a Maharaj Prahlad. Te. Your. Tat Vidvan. Although it was known to him. Dvijavatsalaha. Still because of his affinity for Brahmanas. Swam. His own. Ayahu. Duration of life. Dvijalingepyaha. Who were dressed like Brahmanas. Devebyaha. Unto the demigods. Adat. Deliver. Saha. He. Yachitaha. Being so requested. Translation. Your father Virochan, the son of Maharaj Prahlada, was very affectionate toward Brahmanas. Although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of the Brahmanas, at their request he delivered to them the duration of his life. You can repeat, your father Virochan, the son of Maharaj Prahlada, was very affectionate toward Brahmanas. Although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of Brahmanas. At their request, he delivered to them the duration of his life. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Maharaj Virochan, Bali's father, was so pleased with the Brahmana community that even though he knew that those approaching him for charity were the demigods in the dress of Brahmanas, he nonetheless agreed to give it. So very short purport, so we'll go on till we get to the sizable purport. Text 15. Bhavanna charitandharman Ashtito grihamene bhikhi Brahmannai purvachai surya Anyascho dhamma girti bhikhi. You also have observed the principles followed by great personalities who are household brahmanas, by your forefathers and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities. So text 16. Tasmat vatomakin ishad vineham varadarshavat padani trini dakyendra samitani padamama. O King of the Daityas, from your majesty, who come from such a noble family and are able to give charity munificently, I ask only 3 paces of land to the measurement of my steps. So, purport. Lord Vamanadeva wanted 3 paces of land according to the measurement of his footsteps. He did not want more than necessary, but although he pretended to be an ordinary human child, he actually wanted the land comprising the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. This was just to show the prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And finally, text 17. Nanyate kamaye rajan vadanyat jagadishvarat naena prapnoti vaivitvan yavadarta pratigrahaha. O King, controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahmana takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. Purport. A Brahmana or sannyasi is qualified to ask charity from others, but if he takes more than necessary, he is punishable. No one can use more of the Supreme Lord's property than necessary. Lord Vamanadeva indirectly indicated to Bali Maharaj that he was occupying more land than he needed. In the material world, all distresses are due to extravagance. Wow. One acquires money extravagantly and also spends it extravagantly. Such activities are sinful. All property belongs to the Supreme Personality of God, and all living beings who are sons of the Supreme Lord have the right to use the Supreme Father's property, but one cannot take more than necessary. This principle should especially be followed by brahmanas and sannyasis who live at the cost of others. Thus, Vamanadeva was an ideal beggar, for he asked only 3 paces of land. Of course, there is a difference between his footsteps and those of an ordinary human being. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable prowess, can occupy the entire universe, including the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems, by the unlimited measurement of his footsteps. Okay? So, Om Ganat Chimananda Shaganan Chinam Shivakaya Chakshur Un Miditam Yenitas Mai Shi Radhavaya Namaha. So, we find the first verse after the introduction in the Upanishads, the Isopanishad, stating something very, very similar. I think most of you know that verse, Shivashvamidam Sarvami Yakincha Chagadam Jagat. Tena chikdena punjita maagritha kashasvim dana. And that's the interesting thing about the Isopanishad that differentiates it from all the other Upanishads is that the Isopanishad is the only Upanishad that's in the Yajurveda, in the original 4 Vedas. So it's really super authentic. I mean, obviously all the Upanishads are authentic. But the Isopanishad especially is super authentic. And of course the first verse of the Isopanishad is everything, Om Purna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfectly complete, and all. And all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly complete in and of themselves. So it defines the nature of the Supreme Lord and the living entity's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of utilizing his resources. And in the Gita, I believe it's the 7th chapter, text 4, we have an elaboration describing how everything is owned by the Supreme Lord in the material world. Does anyone know the verse? Yeah, that earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego are my separated material energies. Vina Prakriti Asha, these eightfold energies are my separated material energies. So in other words, that belongs to Krishna. And so any right that we have to claim proprietorship is illegal. We don't have a right. We don't have an adhikar to declare proprietorship. We have the right to say, this is my, what, quota. And that's what the Isopanishad says. That everybody is given a quota, and one should not want to take someone else's quota. It's very, very interesting. And especially, before we start talking about that, let's talk about how Prabhupada recognized that everything was owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of God. You see, when Prabhupada was dealing with Krishna's material energy, he was extremely cautious, understanding that it belonged to Krishna. I mean, for example, you have the instances where Prabhupada would be walking in Mayapur and he'd be looking in some devotee's room and he would see, the fan running or the lights on. And Prabhupada would get very upset. You know, the door would be locked. Not that the devotee would. I mean, obviously, Prabhupada allowed the devotees to run the fan if they were in the room. But if no one was in the room, the door was locked in Mayapur, and the fan was on and the lights were on, Prabhupada would get extremely upset. Because it was Krishna's energy. Oh my God, microphone is also Krishna's energy. It's acting up on me right now. And then, you know, other instances are like when Prabhupada was arranging for programs in India. Switch. No problem with the battery. Gracias.
Adios.
When Prabhupada was arranging for programs in India, and, you know, Pandal programs, and the devotees, they would make the arrangements for renting the Pandal or renting different things for. And the devotees would spend a certain amount of money, and Prabhupada would have to come in and renegotiate the contract. And he said, the devotees are thinking this is very cheap. And Prabhupada jokingly said that the other people are thinking, damn cheap, Babu. Yeah, they're thinking it's damn cheap. And the other people were saying, taking advantage of them because they were thinking it's damn cheap and they were cheating them. So damn cheap, Babu. And other instances, like there was one instance I remember, Prabhupada was in the car and he wiped his hand across the dashboard and it was dirt. He says, who do you think this car belongs to? You know, so, in other words, everything belongs to Krishna. And even though we may have a quota, then still it doesn't belong to us. It's our quota. We're borrowing it from God, borrowing God's property from him. And so it's important to understand what is your quota. And especially, getting back to the point here, with the Brahmins and sannyasis, it's interesting that Prabhupada, there's one interesting quote we found that Prabhupada said that, as far as the proprietorship, Prabhupada said the root of all sin is disregarding the proprietorship of the Lord. It's an aphorism given by Srila Prabhupada. The root of all sin is disregarding that God is the proprietor. Wow. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? That means the root or the foundation of all sin is there. So, anyway. So, trying to understand what is our quota is a very interesting thing, especially dealing with Brahmins and sannyasis. And Prabhupada gave some interesting quotes. He actually said that for ourselves we should not accept any farthing, but for Krishna we can collect millions of dollars. Prabhupada specifically liked to use that word farthing, because that's like a old English penny type of thing, to indicate that we shouldn't take any more. In fact, Prabhupada sometimes encouraged people to collect a lot of money. I mean, there's that famous quote where one sannyasi was asking Prabhupada if he could worship Ganesh in order to collect money. And, you know, generally, Prabhupada said, you know, we're not interested in worshiping the demigods. And Krishna, of course, in the Gita says, Kamais Taishtar, Kuchigana, Prapajante, and Devata. That those who actually have their intelligence stolen by lust, then they surrender to the demigods. And then the devotee asked Prabhupada, you know, if you could work. And Prabhupada, other times, said, you know, we're not going to worship demigods. And at this particular juncture, Prabhupada said, yes, you can worship Ganesh if you give me $100,000 a month, minimum. Otherwise, no. That's there in the letters. I mean, I'm not just making this up. Prabhupada just stated that. Very, very interesting quotes of Srila Prabhupada in that regard. And this very much relates to the verse in the Nectar instruction. Achyahara prayasas jalpa jalpa niyamagraha janasangasta lalyam jasabhir bhakti vinashati. That one falls down from devotional service if they're engaged in collecting too much or eating too much, or prayas, over endeavor for mundane things, or performing devotional service ritualistically, or not performing or neglecting the rules and regulations, associating with non-devotees, ordinary person, ajana sangasva, or hankering for mundane things. So this verse actually very much relates to this principle of the Ishapanishad statement, which is part of this, the meaning of this particular verse and purport, that atyahara, so that relates, collecting too much. Of course, for Krishna, there's no question of collecting too much. Prabhupada said there's no limit to what we can collect, but we have to give everything for Krishna. One interesting thing is nowadays in many religious activities outside of the Krishna consciousness movement in different religions, there's this whole philosophy that if you're religious, then that should be somehow or other manifest in terms of opulence. It's called prosperity religion. And I was just reading the other day about there's one famous religious preacher, and I'm not going to mention his name, really famous religious preacher, and it turns out that he's accumulated a fortune of several $1 million, and people criticize him for that. But then he states that it's proof that God is pleased with us. It's proof that God is pleased with us that you have prosperity. That's the prosperity preaching of the Christians right now. And he's actually like really in your face with this prosperity. Really in your face as far as everything he has, the cars and everything he has. And so, of course, people are criticizing. It's interesting, you have other Christians who are calling him of the devil because they've taken quotes out of the Bible. And, I'm not taking a position on this, whether someone is the devil or not. Or someone's in Maya or not. That's not my point. But when someone in a religious position is, let's say, has facilities that are too much, then it causes people to criticize whether he's a Maya, whether he's properly used in God's service, that's not for me to decide. That's between him and God. As it says in the Bible, judgment is mine, saith the Lord. So we're not so careful, we're not passing judgment on any religious leader. However, people are criticizing. And there's other preachers who go online, and I've saw this, it's really interesting because I examine other religions, who go online quoting from the Bible to try to prove that this guy's a demon. I'm not justifying that either. Fault finding is not part of spiritual life. But anyway, they're saying he's of the devil because he's preaching things that are against certain verses in the Bible. Interesting, isn't it? So, what do we do about that? Obviously, we don't have verses that state that if a sannyasi is driving around a Tesla or something like that, he's a demon. However, it is important, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, that someone who is a preacher not display too much opulence or has to be very, very careful. And we see that with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own activities, pastimes. That, for example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time had offered to him sandalwood oil. His devotee, Jagadananda Pandit, who was actually an incarnation of Satchabhama. Jagadananda Pandit he went to great trouble and he collected sandalwood oil to bring to Lord Chaitanya because Lord Chaitanya, he was thinking of the life affairs of Lord Chaitanya because I guess Lord Chaitanya had some headaches or something. Usually you rub sandalwood oil. Sandalwood oil keeps you cool. That's why Prabhupada said we put it on the deities. Obviously, we shouldn't put it on the deities if it's called that. Devotees have this habit of putting it on Prabhupada even if it's like below freezing. It's not just a ritual. And the way you put it on Prabhupada is you put it on Prabhupada's sides of his forehead. How do I know that? Because Timal Krishnamurti told me. One time I was at Guru Puja and I put it like here. And Timal Krishnamurti said, no, here, here. That's why Prabhupada wanted it. And you see a picture of Prabhupada. And there's one picture of Prabhupada with Rathi Acha with a sandalwood. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So Jagadananda Pandit, he wanted to give Lord Chaitanya some sandalwood. You know, a nice attitude. And what happened is that Lord Chaitanya said, you know, give it to the deities. If I am using this sandalwood, people are going to think I'm a Dari Sannyasi. A Dari Sannyasi is a sannyasi that keeps women, you know, because obviously if a sannyasi walks in the room and he smells like he's been using perfume, it's definitely a no-no. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Jagannatha Pandit, you know, you collected the sandalwood, great trouble, so give it to the deity. And of course, the story goes that Jagannatha Pandit, being in the mood of Satyabhama, just smashed the sandalwood. And, you know, threw it on the ground. Said, who said it? I brought you sandalwood. And he went into a catatonic fit for about 3 or 4 days until Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought him out of it by asking him to cook prasadam for him. Another instance was when Jagadanda Pandit wanted to provide a nice bed for Lord Chaitanya. Of course, Lord Chaitanya's, let's say, pastimes cannot be, or the renunciation should not be imitated by us, because obviously we're not on that platform. I mean, Lord Chaitanya is God, but even the Goswamis of Vrindavan, we should not imitate them. We'll simply become bitter, angry, and eventually leave Krishna consciousness because we're not ready to engage in that sort of austerity. But they wanted to make, he wanted to give Lord Chaitanya a bed. And Lord Chaitanya refused. And finally, of course, Sarup Damodar Goswami took some banana leaves and he just split them up, put them inside an old dhoti of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and gave Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu some facility like this, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't hurt his body as he was resting at night. So Lord Chaitanya did accept that. So the example is given by Lord Chaitanya that one should be very careful if one has a position. Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya said that a sannyasi is like a white sheet, saffron sheet. He said white sheet. And if there's a spot on the white sheet, everyone will notice it. You know, if you have a brown sheet, you put mud on it. Of course, black, you also notice things. But anyway, if you have a white sheet, like some of you have white dhotis here, Shapira has white, sorry. I mean, you know, isn't it? If you spill some food on it, oh my God, I got to change the sari, wash it. Whereas if you have, anyone here have anything else? No, everyone's wearing white here. Anyway, now, where if you spill something on that, except for not, doesn't matter, you know, go to the dance. Doesn't matter. So that's really the point. Not only insofar as one not deviating from Krishna consciousness personally, but setting a good example. Because, as they say, what is it? Caesar's wife should be without suspicion. That's from, of course, Shakespeare. So, in other words, one who is representing Krishna has to show that they're not interested in the material world. At the same time, we don't want to look wretched. At the same time, sometimes Prabhupada did accept some material opulence. I mean, one time, they criticized, I think it was in the UK, that Prabhupada was using a Rolls Royce. And they put in the news, Swami comes rollsing in, or something like that. And they criticized. And then what Prabhupada said was that a gold car was not enough, or good enough for the guru. Can you imagine Prabhupada a gold Rolls Royce? He came in a gold Rolls Royce. Because Prabhupada was trying to establish the principle of Guru Tapa, that the Acharya, Prabhupada's the Acharya, should give in respect because Shakshat Hari Tvaina Samasta Shastri Vitasta Tela Bhagavyate Sabi. These spiritual masters are very dear to Krishna, and he's accepting things on behalf of Krishna. He's the representative, he's the ambassador. So that's another principle. That sometimes Prabhupada would accept a lot of opulence. Not for his own sense gratification, that's the difference. Not for his own sense gratification, but for the principle of preaching Krishna consciousness. For his own sense gratification, I mean, there's another story Shuddhakirti told me, you know, sometimes devotees now, they like to fly first class on the airplane. So Prabhupada was asked, you know, do you want to have a first class ticket? And Prabhupada said, no, what is the difference? It's the same seats. I mean, obviously, if it's a long flight, it's a bed or something like that, it's different. But Prabhupada, Shuddhakirti told me this story. You know, I always thought that Prabhupada always flew first class. And Prabhupada said, what is the difference? You're just a waste of money to do that. He said, you know, we don't need any of their food anyway. That's it. Prabhupada said, that's the difference. I mean, I have an understanding of long international flight. They have, you know, the live flatbeds, which are actually not supposed to be healthy for you. It's actually healthier if you get up during a long flight and walk around rather than just lie down like a mummy for the whole flight. So, and I'm not criticizing devotees who spend money on first class tickets. You know, if you get it for free, I mean, sometimes I get it for free because I fly a lot, but I won't buy it. So Prabhupada was just very conscious of spending money on himself. But when it came to spending money for preaching Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada was ready to, I mean, in the Pandels, he was spending so much money. Building temples, he was spending so much money. He would send devotees out to collect so much money. I mean, the whole life membership program was basically to get money to build the temples or to get people to become members. So, in other words, Prabhupada was ready to do that. So what should we do in our personal lives? I think that's up to each and everybody individually to determine what level of amenities they need, because we do have certain needs. I mean, I've experienced getting older. That may come as a shock to you. And, you know, when I was young, we would live in the same brahmachari room with 30 other brahmacharis and share the same clothes. And it was blissful. Yeah, I didn't experience any difficulty because that did destroy my Krishna consciousness. But, you know, as you get older, you know, you need a little bit more facility. Especially when you have the old man's disease that you have to go to the restroom 3 or 4 times a night. And if you have to walk 200 meters to get there, it's not practical. So in other words, you need a little bit more facility. That's all right. Everybody has to understand what your quota is. But you don't want to engage in achahara. Amis prayasas, in the second verse. Achahara means collecting too much or eating too much. Prayasas, you don't want to engage in over-endeavor. Over-endeavor means you're working 2 or 3 jobs in order to have more facility, which you think is necessary, and you're not even enjoying your facility. You're spending most of your time, just like people who work hard to have a big house. They don't enjoy the big house, like Prabhupada commented on this sometimes. Most of the times they're working, and the only thing they do in the big house is sleep, and sometimes eat. And so, what's the enjoyment? It's all an illusion. And then they have very little time left for self-realization. So the whole point I'm trying to get to is to maximize your Krishna consciousness. And for each individual, that's something different. You know, what my quota is, what your quota is different. And that's up to me and you to determine what you need to progress. in a stable, steady way in Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita talks about this. He says that everyone has material needs, and of course spiritual needs, obviously. And we have to be aware of what we need. You know, we need a certain amount of rest. Some people may need 2 hours of rest a night. Other people may need 10 hours. I think that's about max. Anyway, 10 hours, 12 hours. Whatever you need, but that's between you and Krishna. We should not get to the point where we're criticizing people because they need something else. You know, someone may need to be married. That's fine. Because they have that need for some relationship like that. And someone else may not have that need. And so sometimes we found in the past people criticizing others of different ashrams for having different needs, material needs. But that's just part of remaining steady. Maximize, the whole point, maximize your Krishna consciousness. How do you know you're doing that? That's very easy. How many hours a day do you spend serving Krishna, or reading about Krishna, or serving at the temple, or doing something like that? And so, whatever, just plan your life out like that. And that's your quota. How to maximize. If you accept less than your quota, you're minimizing, because you'll be sick. Your mind will be disturbed. And if you accept more than your quota, then you'll be engaged in sense gratification, you may gain too much weight, and you'll have less time for serving Krishna. Very, very easy principle. So, anyway, on that happy note, yes?
How to discriminate between the mind's mental concoction of what we need.
Well, that's what we
basic needs.
That's why we have the association of devotees. That's why we have the association of devotees to discuss these things. You know, obviously, I may think that I need a Tesla. I keep mentioning that. But, you know, another devotee may come up and say, Maharaj, you're not going to save money on petrol that way. The difference in price between, you know, an ordinary car and your Prius and a Tesla is so much that you have to drive for 200 years to make up the difference. Anyways, so, you know, so we take advice. That's the association of devotees. That protects us. What protects us is not just the physical association of devotees, you know, rubbing shoulders with everybody. Yeah. But, itadati pratigranati guyam akyati prichati. You're revealing the mind in confidence and also being ready to hear from others who say, Maharaj, don't you think that's a little ostentatious? You know, you have one of those, you're driving around in Rolls Royce in Nugaloka. You imagine, you know, like, drove up in a Rolls Royce one day, and devotees are afraid of committing offenses. Nowadays, they're not. Anyway, devotees are afraid of committing offenses. They talk behind my back. What kind of nonsense is that? It's an $80,000 car, and we're living in shacks. So it would cause a lack of faith. So obviously, we have to be ready to hear. If someone says, hey, Maharaj, don't you think it's a little too much? We have to take, but we can't be foolish. What is it? Upadesham Murkanam Prakopaya Nashanti. A fool gets angry when he's given good instruction. So we have to just be ready to hear that protects us. Okay, on that happy note, Pachahara Prayasa Cha, Chavati Mahatma Sandhya 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 Try to take something that belongs to someone else or want something that belongs to someone else. That's the last line for the questions. Okay, on that happy note of renunciation, all glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya.